You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
2025 saw the highest rise in ocean temperatures since modern measurements began, marking a worrying increase in the pace of the climate crisis. Ocean temperature measurements are one of the most accurate measures of climate change and have significant impacts on multiple ecological factors, including weather. To discuss rising ocean temperatures and what they mean for the world, I spoke to one of the authors on the paper discussing the findings, distinguished scholar at the National Center for Atmospheric Research in Boulder, Colorado, and honorary faculty member at the Department of Physics at the University of Auckland, Kevin Tremberth, about rising ocean temperatures and the potential ramifications. I began by asking how it is that we record the temperatures in the ocean.
Well, the analysis that the group that I'm associated with does is of all of the data in the, especially in the top 2,000 meters of the ocean. So it's not just at the surface, although we do the surface as well. It's the top two kilometers of the ocean, and so that is taking advantage of special kinds of observations that are made to sample that particular region, but there, you know, are thousands of them throughout the year made by about 50 different countries, including New Zealand, throughout the world, using a technology called Argo floats. These are devices that are autonomous. They are launched from a ship, and they reside about 1 kilometer depth, and they drop down to 2 kilometers depth. They have an inflatable chamber, which it can either fill up with water or empty. And when it fills it up with water, it goes down to 2 kilometers, and then it pops up to the surface when it pumps the water out, and it takes temperature and salinity measurements through the top 2 kilometers. And then when it gets to the surface, it radios that information back to ground-based stations. And so that's all compiled. And then it has to be, of course, quality controlled. And it's quite an involved procedure. But there are something like 3,800 or so of these floats deployed at any time. So there's an observation about every 300 kilometers or so.
And what kind of temperatures did we end up seeing last year?
So 2025 turns out to be the warmest year on record by quite a substantial amount. And, you know, we measure it in terms of joules, which is a unit of energy. And it's a little hard to relate that directly, but it turns out to be about 200, over 200 times all of the energy that all of the electricity that was used around the world in the same year, in the same period. So it's a huge amount of energy, and it comes about because of the increasing greenhouse gases, in particular carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, that are trapping the sun's radiation in the climate system. And that energy ends up in the ocean, and so the ocean temperatures turn out to be the best single measure we have that climate change is occurring.
And how exactly does ocean warming work? Like, is it literally the whole ocean getting hotter, or is there a bit more to it than that?
Well, there's quite a lot more to it, because the ocean is quite strongly stratified. You know, the top part of the ocean is much warmer than the very deep ocean, and in fact, the very deep ocean is, just a degree or two above freezing point. Although the freezing point is complicated because it's saline. So the freezing point is actually below 0 degrees Celsius. And so the warm water sits on top of cold water. That means it's hard for heat to penetrate. And the main way it does it is by winds mixing and by tides and by ocean currents. And all of that helps to mix the heat gradually down. But it takes 25 years for the heat to go from the surface down to around 2 kilometer depth. And so most of the heat is in the upper layers, and the greatest warming is right near the surface.
How do these temperatures compare to those in the past, you know, not just the years before, but also, you know, 50 to 100 years ago?
Well, there wasn't very much warming, as far as we are aware of, up until about the 1960s or thereabouts. And the main warming that is really evident begins in the late 1970s in the upper layers, and it really is only detectable about 2 kilometers depth after about 2005. We don't have really good measurements a long way back, and so that statement is based upon the measurements that do exist. The strongest measurements or the best coverage of measurements is after about 2000.
And you mentioned earlier that the ocean temperature is a good measure for climate change. How important is the temperature of the ocean, not just as a measurement of climate change, but also, you know, for the animals living in it, for people? How does this temperature impact us and the rest of the world?
Yes, so it's interesting how the heat actually gets into the ocean. And, of course, some of it occurs just because the sun is shining on the top of the ocean and the ocean warms up. But it doesn't stay there. It actually circulates around in the atmosphere, and it takes a few years for it to actually stabilize and really get buried deeply enough in the ocean for it to stay there. And then, as I say, it gradually permeates further and further down. So what happens is some of it evaporates, there's evaporative cooling of the ocean, and moisture evaporates into the atmosphere. That moisture then gets caught up in storms, and then it gets rained out. And in the process, the heat that went into the evaporation of the ocean gets caught up in storms, and that makes the storms more vigorous. It rains harder as a consequence, and we're seeing that. There's more extreme weather events as a consequence. We've seen quite a lot of that in New Zealand in December in particular, and early January. A lot of squally storms, and that's partly because in the New Zealand area, the sea surface temperatures are particularly warm as well.
What can, you know, governments around the world be doing? Obviously, there's a lot of attention in many places towards acting on climate change. Are the current efforts enough, and what more can be done, I guess, to improve this and reverse these effects?
Yeah, well, this is turning out to be a major issue because of the United States and the way in which they're dropping out of taking good measurements and analyzing them. This is one of the things about the record that we've compiled for the last year, is that the U.S. Participation has been a lot less. And, just yesterday there was an announcement that the U.S. was leaving the UNFCCC, the Framework Convention on Climate Change. That's the convention which was signed by 198 countries, including New Zealand, all around the world. And it's an agreement that says that each country will make measurements and estimates of emissions and report those. And that's one of the ways in which we find out, you know, how much carbon dioxide is going into the atmosphere and where it is coming from. And so the basic measurements are actually in jeopardy, and this is a big issue. And then what do we do about it? Well, we try to decarbonize the economy and cut down on the emissions, the burning of fossil fuels of various kinds, and driving electric cars, for instance, instead of internal combustion engine cars, and burning things. And so those efforts have been underway, especially since the Paris Agreement in 2017 around the world. I must say New Zealand is not doing very well in the last year or two. They were doing reasonably well up till that point. And as a result, climate change is continuing, and the changes in the ocean heat content is actually the best single measurement that the climate change is happening. And so if we're not going to stop it from happening, then we need to recognize that it's happening and prepare for it. And so I think in New Zealand, there could be a lot more preparation for that kind of thing. And a lot of it in New Zealand relates to preparing for heavy rains and flooding. And we've seen you know, many examples of that, most recently in the Nelson area, but many other parts of the country in recent years. In other parts of the world, it's not only flooding, but also the heat waves and wildfires that occur. And Australia is suffering from that at the moment, for instance. And so climate change is an important issue. We need to be able to track it and decide, you know, better just what to do about it.
That was distinguished scholar at the National Center for Atmospheric Research in Boulder, Colorado, and honorary faculty member at the Department of Physics at the University of Auckland, Kevin Trenberth, speaking to me about rising ocean temperatures and the ramifications. We'll be right back. Text in at 5395 with any of your thoughts on these pieces.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.